Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do on a Sunday night, is sit right here with you. And I tell you, we've got a lot to talk about until 10 o'clock tonight. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. You know, I keep thinking about all of the violence that is going on in the Twin Cities specifically. We could always turn our backs to the Twin Cities and look at other states and go, yeah, but look at them. They're terrible. They're far worse than we are. That's not what our job is. Our job as a state, as a city, as neighbors, is to make sure that we can somehow do a better job and work hard, find ways to get to know your neighbors, get to know people on a train, on a bus, say hello, right? It seems so easy, but it's not. And we are hearing every day about violence, not just here in our great state and in the Twin Cities, but as well as across the country. I am sick and tired of hearing about all of the violence, especially when it comes to children. It is just ridiculous, these mass shootings. You have to have at least four people for it to be called mass. Now, this is not something I usually ever talk about on Sundays, but I do want to just say, please, please pray for our country. Please have conversations with those who think that some of these killings are worth it. Even when you don't know the person, there's got to be a conversation. If we don't use our words to communicate, then how will we? How are we going to successfully communicate to each other who we are, what we know, what we don't know? How are we going to make sure that we each say, oh, yes, I read that, or I heard about that, and yes, I've joined such and such, and I'm going to do such and such. Not everybody knows what to do about it. I'm one of them. I can't say that I've come up with the remedy that I want to tell the world about. I don't. And I rely on our leaders. Now, if you've listened to the show over the years, I've been here 25 years now, and if you've heard my show, then you know that I constantly say, or often say, leadership is everything. Whether it's the governor, to the mayors, to the city councils, to the school boards, leadership is everything. To the corporations, small companies, executive directors of nonprofits, leadership is everything. And we are having a very difficult time with great leadership today. We are finding that there are leaders who are leading, but are they leading to be positive? Are they leaning towards being positive and encouraging, right? Saying that we're going to work together and we're going to change this attitude. We're going to change all of this shooting. It's just ridiculous how many people don't want to talk about it. So if there's anything we can do, talk about it. If you want to talk with anyone, I'm talking about your friends, your siblings, your family, your nieces and nephews, neighbors, teachers, students, we can go on and on. talk. At least if we start a conversation, that can be the beginning. I truly believe that because I have started conversations or I've jumped in on a conversation or someone has come to me with a conversation and said, what do you think? And it's quite remarkable to see how things begin to unfold instead of staying folded and tight and where we can't even get to each other. I was at Como. No, I'm sorry, not Como. I was at Betimakaska the other day. And of course, the lake was beautiful. Lots of people out and about. And I just felt so peaceful. And I've known some bad stories for a long time, many years ago, when they would not allow people of color to really come and park there because they parked there. And then there would be people that would come around and say, oh, you know, could you move over to this side of the lake or could you move to that side? There were challenges. And then they closed off that parking area for a while. So here we are trying our best to figure out how in the world are we going to get to know each other and actually have a conversation. And it's not easy. Jonathan Lohr is our producer tonight, along with Chris Tubbs. Thank you so much for doing so much for me on the show. And Jonathan, I know we have a guest coming up, but the one that we were going to talk to, if we have a chance to, is from Mad Dads. Because on Wednesday, the FBI's Twin Cities branch brought RICO, R-I-C-O, charges against 45 people believed to be members of two area street gangs, the Highs and the Bloods. The announcement was promised as a first step in addressing violent crime across Minneapolis. My goodness, Minneapolis has had a chance, so many chances for a first step. At this point, I don't know if we can ever have another first step, but I hope so. The local chapter of the Mad Dads, have you heard about them? It's an organization that is commemorating their 25th anniversary of working to combat crime in the community. Twin Cities Executive Director Jordan Bauer Nelson, we hope, will join us to talk about this. But so many people have said to me, oh, nothing's going to happen with that. You know, when people get together and they talk and they say they're going to do this and make changes, but it's really never enough. And if you agree with that, you're welcome to join us at 651-461-9226. Text us. Let us know if you feel that it eventually will happen or that it'll never happen, right? In one of the articles, it says 45 people are facing charges as federal authorities announce the next steps in a major gang crackdown, a major gang crackdown in Minneapolis. And Jonathan, it wasn't that long ago. I remember in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, man, it started breaking out. And when we got to the late 80s and into the early 90s, things were starting to calm down. That was when Bill Clinton was in office and people, especially Minnesotans, were starting to feel as though they were making more money, that they were getting much more opportunities to live a better life. But yeah, this whole thing about cracking down in Minneapolis, that's been talked about over and over again. So indictments unsealed on Wednesday charged 30 members and associates of the Highs and Bloods gangs with racketeering conspiracy. It's called the RICO Act, involving alleged murder, attempted murder, robbery, obstruction, or justice in drug trafficking. My goodness, we've been here before. And if you were in another state during those months, those years, maybe you don't remember, but so many Minnesotans, I know we remember. How did we get to this point again? How do they get in to the central part of Minnesota? How do they get in and change things? I don't know. I wish I had an answer to that. But all of us don't come together. I mean, if we seriously don't come together, if you live across the street from some person of color and you're nervous about it and you're worried about it because maybe they're making too much noise and you think, oh, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want anything to do with them. Do you think that's going to make it a better world? Do you think it's going to make your neighbors, you know, feel comfortable with that? How about finding a way to actually talk to them? Remember how we had to start the conversations when Trump was running for president and people didn't want to talk about it at Christmas, Easter, none of the holidays. They didn't want to get together. But oh my goodness, finally we started doing it. Remember when Christmas, I don't know, Jonathan, are you there? Because during Christmas, during those years, when he was running for president, let's talk about that time. He was running for president. There were so many people that just did not want to have family over for the holidays because they didn't want to talk about Trump, because some members of the family, you know, really loved Trump and believed he could be the best, make America great again.
Yep, that's the slogan that is still being used.
It's still being used.
Yes.
So we're not great yet, according to him. We're not great yet. But it's very frustrating.
They say don't talk about politics at the holiday table.
Mm-hmm.
This was the year that probably should have been more true than ever, was 2016.
Yeah. And in 2016 he won, so, you know, he was the president. Yet, we still didn't talk to each other. That's what I didn't understand. Once the deed was done, why are people still mad? I had people in my family that just couldn't talk about it. It's not like they was going to start a fight, but man, did it feel like it. They just couldn't talk about it. So we're still not talking. We're having a difficult time addressing others, some that we don't know at all, some that we kind of know, but maybe don't like them. But if we don't get this together, and if you don't believe that what we think and do and say really matters when you put it out into the universe, really, then it's going to get worse. Times are not going to be as fun as they were long before Trump. So there we are. And if you look and say, I disagree with you, Gerilyn, text us. Tell me why you don't agree. And that's just fine with me. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. We are trying to talk about this conversation. You are welcome to join me in figuring out how is it that we deal with the violence right now, and even in the state of Minnesota, specifically in the Twin Cities metro area. You're welcome to call us at 651-461-9226. Do you even believe that it can be handled? Do you believe that we have the infrastructure in order for us to be able to do more about it, to try to make sure that it stops, to try to make sure that no others are coming in to our state and to our neighborhoods? How do we make sure of that? I don't know. I really don't know, but I believe it can happen. And I don't know about you, Jonathan. The bottom line for me is that we heal past this point. How do we ever get past it if we don't address it? So, of course, the state is trying to address it along with the help of Mad Dads. We were hoping to get the executive director on with us tonight, and we were not able to get him on tonight, and I'm so sorry. If you are listening, sir, you are welcome to give us a call at 651-461-9226. We'd love to hear from you. But there are so many members that are coming from other states and other cities, and then some just right here. They're here doing their thing. I've had someone sit next to me at an event who said something to me. This was a while ago. Who said to me, you know, I just think that our state is doomed. I just think there's nothing else we can do. I thought, come on, really? Why do we need to have that attitude? That's not who we are in the United States. Why would we do that? Why wouldn't we constantly think, what can we do? There has to be an answer to that. Has to be. So that's where I live with that, and I hope you do too. Don't be afraid to start the conversation. Maybe we need to work on the first thing that's said in a conversation. I'm surprised at how many young people have not been taught how to start a conversation. I remember at a church that I used to go to years ago, I did these etiquette classes and taught the students how to start a conversation. I would leave a piece, like a small piece of paper on the table where they're going to sit, and they're in their gowns and their tuxedos, and it's very elegant. And I said, I just pushed it onto the table and said, there you go. And they would pick up a piece. You know, maybe there were three pieces or six pieces on the table, and it starts the conversation. Whichever one they want to start, pick it up, go for it. But it's amazing, even adults today don't necessarily know how to start the conversation. Or if someone knows how to start, say that again, Jonathan. Oh my goodness, so sorry. Those of you that have been waiting, I apologize, I'm just learning this. Let's go to Julie in Minneapolis. Hey, Julie.
Hi there.
Hey,
see,
now.
Before I jump in about violence in the city of Minneapolis, I wanted to ask you, remind me the name of the lake where these trashy people tried to tell black people you shouldn't be parking here. What lake was that? What decade was that?
Yeah, no, that was Calhoun. That was Calhoun Lake.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's right off of Lake Street.
Yeah, yeah. What decade are we talking?
Oh, my goodness. You know? Well, the name was just changed last year, I believe,
right.
If I'm not mistaken.
And
Julie, I appreciate you asking that. But I'm not quite sure when we got all of the facts about the person named Calhoun who had slaves. So I know about Meta Bakaska. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Ben Scott, yeah, I have trouble pronouncing it correctly.
Me too.
I know there's people waiting. I just wanted to jump in with something. You know, maybe it was 20 years ago, Geraldine, maybe a few more, maybe a few years less, but Minneapolis had a gang task force.
Yes.
And it had to disband because of corruption done by the police. And I got the feeling that, oh, we can never try this again because the police were bad in this situation, which is stupid, which is frightening, which is dumb, in my opinion. I think we should have tried again. Because what in the world have we been doing the last 20 years? I'm glad, I guess, that I'm not very educated about it, Geraldine, but I think it's a good thing if all of a sudden it appears in the paper that they're doing this. But I think it's a shame that because there was corruption in the police force that we never tried it again. And so,
well, I sure appreciate you saying that, Julie. I really appreciate it. And you take care of yourself in Minneapolis.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Nick in St. Paul. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Geraldine. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You doing all right?
Yeah. So
good.
I agree with what you said earlier about getting to know our neighbors. I think you said that earlier tonight.
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Getting to know our neighbors.
And it's not easy to do. Let me tell you, some of the neighbors walk away from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've had that. And I'm blind. And so, of course, I don't know when they walk away. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Conversation is the way to go. And also maybe a bigger police force in St. Paul and Minneapolis.
We had a bigger one, and we lost a lot of them. You know, a lot of them
That's
quit.
True.
Some just had other cities that offered them better pay and that sort of thing. So how do we make that happen? You know, I thought that we had the numbers of police officers that we really needed in this state. I really, especially in the Twin Cities, I really thought we had it. And then all of a sudden, many of them left. And I don't know all the reasons why they left, but I do know that there are other people who may actually step in those big, gigantic shoes and help. I'm hoping so.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm hoping so too, because I feel like we're living in a fearful world. I mean, people are more narcissistic than they ever were before. I mean, as I said, I'm blind, and I get help from the state and from the county, you know, Ramsey County.
Right.
And they help me go shopping and things like that. And I treat them like I would a friend. I know I'm not supposed to legally because of this professional stuff, but I treat them like I would a friend. I can't help it. That's just who I am. And I wish other people would understand that rather than following. I hope there are some state legislatures listening, because I wish they could change the laws and change the rules and change all of this stuff, because it's stupid. Anyway.
Thank you for your passion, by the way, Nick. If we all had that passion, we'd all be relating a little easier. All right, everyone, we got to take a break, and we'll come back with our next guest soon. Welcome back, everyone. Have you heard that some folks may have forgotten about the Taste of Minnesota? Do you remember it? I know I do. I think my whole family does. With the most recent edition of the evening being held in 2015. Come on, 2015 was the last time we did Taste of Minnesota. Wow. Well, now it's ready to make a comeback onto the summer calendar. And this week's announcement set the stage for Minneapolis's Nicollet Mall, which will host the event July 2nd and 3rd. Taylor Carrick is joining us. She's one of, he or she is one of the organizers. Forgive me for not knowing that. Yes, he is. And he is here with a preview of what we can expect from this latest revival. He joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Baker Hotline. Hello, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing well, and that weather report you just read really gets me fired up for summer festivals, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it's just awesome, isn't it? We're having an awesome, awesome spring, so I'm not complaining at all. Okay, so this is happening. Tell me how it became. How did you guys discuss it? How did you get together? Was it a quick decision? Was it something that you said, we have to do this?
Yeah, well, I think it was two things. It was a conversation that one of the co-organizers and I had several years ago about how we've really become a foodie town here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we do have food truck festivals, and we do have a few sort of celebrations of food, but we don't have anything that is a big summer festival that has a strong food component, even though we have things like, you know, all of those foods that people try to get right away at the Minnesota State Fair.
Right.
Or, you know, that type of thing. And so we had talked about it for a while, and other cities do have, you know, just strictly food festivals. So we got to thinking, you know, whatever happened to Taste of Minnesota and the big sort of get-together party that they had. And from there, we kind of started doing some planning. What would it look like if we brought it back? What would it look like if, you know, food was a really good component? We'd have the national music. And then we got in touch with City of Minneapolis leadership, who thought, you know, this would be a really good fit for this redone Nicollet Mall that has undergone a big change over the last couple of years. And this could be a really good program to bring people back to downtown Minneapolis. So we've been working really closely with them with this idea that we've kicked around for a while. And we are feeling pretty excited that the timing is really right for it. And the foodie thing has only gotten better in the years that we've been excited about it. And everybody is excited for the music part as well, because, you know, unfortunately, some of the summer festivals of the last couple of years aren't happening this year. So this is it's a good time for us to do it.
Organizers have finally unveiled the entertainment lineup on Thursday for the festival on Nicollet Mall. Now, the free event, I want to make sure people hear this, it is a free event, will be held on July 2nd and 3rd and include performances from Third Eye Blind, Uncle Cracker, haven't heard that name in a long time, and Big Boy from Outkast. There will be art and, of course, food and so much more. I read the lineup, part of the lineup, and it was really exciting to me. You guys put this together in a pretty short amount of time.
Well, you know, we had discussed the idea for several years. I mean, you know, relaunching Taste of Minnesota is something that we've been kicking around since pre-pandemic, and it, you know, it's just 2020 was not a good year to do any big programming. But the nice thing is that in a way, all of the work that we did with branding and some of the things that we wanted to do with the festival really made it possible for us to act really fast when, you know, city leadership and people downtown said, hey, we would like to have this in Minneapolis. And we said, well, we have most of the outline ready to go. Let's see who we can get for music. And, you know, fortunately, we have a couple big gets there. I mean, I have people, when I tell them we got Big Boy from Outkast, you know, people scream on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, right.
people are fired up, and then they say, well, you know, we're spending a lot of money on concert tickets all summer long, so how much is your event? And we say, well, come see Big Boy for free. You know, bring your family with you, because we're going to have food, and we have beers from around Minnesota, including Surly is our flagship beer sponsor, and we have a lot of other beverage options as well for people. So it's a fun time. And not only did we, you know, announce that we had some really, really good talent music-wise, some folks you know, and, you know, we also had First Wrestling is involved, and we announced that our food ambassador is Andrew Zimmern, and that, you know,
oh, I love him.
Our
oh.
game.
Yeah.
And so his perspective is one that we shared, which is, you know, we wanted to bring in the original Taste of Minnesota cheese curds and, you know, give people that sort of blast from the past. But then we also really like his perspective of what types of food do we have in the state that people can come try and, you know, spend a day kind of checking out some big name chefs and also some other food options, depending on what your interest level is, and then kind of hang out and visit and see the shows.
Okay, so can you tell me just two more foodies? I mean, two more types of food that will be served or offered to the to the great group of people.
We're going to be building buzz leading up to the event by announcing different types of food that's going to be available.
Oh, okay.
And so right now we have Zimmer was our big announce this week. We have a couple other folks that we're going to be announcing coming up as well. And part of the reason is it's just, you know, 8 weeks left. We want as many people to come check out the food and see what is going to be available for people. So,
okay, yeah. So I won't push you on that food thing, but I do want to know if some of the Minnesota, you know, well-known, well-beloved foods are a part of this, like Juicy Lucy's and Wild Rice Soup. And no, seriously, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah, we are planning to do some favorites, but we're also interested in sort of, you know, I'm borrowing a phrase from one of our partners in the downtown council, which is, you know, we're legitimately trying to celebrate the diversity of the diversity. So when we did our presser, we had Chef Jojo from Tamu Grill doing samosas from Kenya and East Africa on hand, because we feel like that's also a part of the tapestry of food that we currently have. So, you know, in addition to cheese curds, which is obviously a Midwest thing, like samosas is a thing that we're leaning into, along with your, you know, your Juicy Lucy's and your Wild Rice stuff. So yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we got neighbors from East Africa that are doing great things with food. We got a lot of notable folks from Southeast Asia doing really good food programming these days. You know, we have award-winning chefs, you know, doing everything from Mexican cuisine to, you know, different parts of America and, you know, pizza and all that stuff. So it is one thing that we're really excited to include in the food programming. So, you know, little something for everyone. Some of it's going to be spicy. Some of it's not.
That's kind of what we're like, right? We're like that. Yeah. I do want to mention very quickly that chef and restaurateur Andrew Zimmerman will serve as food ambassador. As you said earlier, I just wanted to reiterate those that are just joining us. And the city council member, Michael Rainville, noted that there would be something for all ages at the event. I was so happy to read that. So what can the children do? What is available for them?
Oh, well, you know.
There's a lot,
There's a lot. You know, it's funny because, you know, I have two small kids. And so when we think about programming, you know, it's sometimes people say that and then it's not necessarily true. But even tapping into the spirit of our press event that we did, you know, we had the Baron of Bubbles on hand, blowing
the
his
Baron of Bubbles.
Yeah, making bubbles for everybody to run through. We have secondhand hounds will be on hand with some of their adoptables. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of things that in addition to our art market and some of the other programming that we have, it is a thing, too, where when we talk about people coming downtown, we do want families to come experience the downtown. And
nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Have you heard that some folks may have forgotten about the Taste of Minnesota? Do you remember it? I know I do. I think my whole family does. With the most recent edition of the evening being held in 2015. Come on, 2015 was the last time we did Taste of Minnesota. Wow. Well, now it's ready to make a comeback. On to the summer calendar. And this week's announcement set the stage for Minneapolis's Nicollet Mall, which will host the event July 2nd and 3rd. Taylor Carrick is joining us. She's one of, he or she is one of the organizers. Forgive me for not knowing that. Yes, he is. And he is here with a preview of what we can expect from this latest revival. He joins us on the John Schuster Caldwell Baker Hotline. Hello, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing well, and that weather report you just read really gets me fired up for summer festivals, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it's just awesome, isn't it? We're having an awesome, awesome spring, so I'm not complaining at all. Okay, so this is happening. Tell me how it became. How did you guys discuss it? How did you get together? Was it a quick decision? Was it something that you said, we have to do this?
Yeah, well, I think it was two things. It was a conversation that one of the co-organizers and I had several years ago about how we've really become a foodie town here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we do have food truck festivals and we do have a few sort of celebrations of food. But we don't have anything that is a big summer festival that has a strong food component, even though we have things like, you know, all of those foods that people try to get right away at the Minnesota State Fair.
Right.
Or, you know, that type of thing. And so we had talked about it for a while, and other cities do have, you know, just strictly food festivals. So we got to thinking, you know, whatever happened to Taste of Minnesota and the big sort of get-together party that they had. And from there, we kind of started doing some planning. What would it look like if we brought it back? What would it look like if, you know, food was a really good component? We'd have the national music. And then we got in touch with City of Minneapolis leadership, who thought, you know, this would be a really good fit for this redone Nicollet Mall that has undergone a big change over the last couple of years. And this could be a really good program to bring people back to downtown Minneapolis. So we've been working really closely with them with this idea that we've kicked around for a while. And we are feeling pretty excited that the timing is really right for it, and the foodie thing has only gotten better in the years that we've been excited about it, and everybody is excited for the music part as well, because, you know, unfortunately some of the summer festivals of the last couple of years aren't happening this year, so this is it's a good time for us to do it.
Organizers have finally unveiled the entertainment lineup Thursday for the festival on Nicollet Mall. Now, the free event, I want to make sure people hear this, it is a free event, will be held on July 2nd and 3rd and include performances from Third Eye Blind, Uncle Cracker, haven't heard that name in a long time, and Big Boy from Outkast. There will be art and, of course, food and so much more. I read the lineup, part of the lineup, and it was really exciting to me. You guys put this together in a pretty short amount of time.
Well, you know, we had discussed the idea for several years. I mean, you know, relaunching Taste of Minnesota is something that we've been kicking around since pre-pandemic, and it, you know, it's just 2020 was not a good year to do any big programming. But the nice thing is that In a way, all of the work that we did with branding and some of the things that we wanted to do with the festival really made it possible for us to act really fast when, you know, city leadership and people downtown said, hey, we would like to have this in Minneapolis. And we said, well, we have most of the outline ready to go. Let's see who we can get for music. And, you know, fortunately, we have a couple big gets there. I mean, I have people, when I tell them we got Big Boy from Outkast, you know, people scream on the other end of the phone.
Yeah, right.
people are fired up, and then they say, well, you know, we're spending a lot of money on concert tickets all summer long, so how much is your event? And we say, well, come see Big Boy for free.
For free.
You know, bring your family with you, because we're going to have food, and we have beers from around Minnesota, including Surly is our flagship beer sponsor, and we have a lot of other beverage options as well for people. So it's a fun time. And not only did we, you know, announce that we had some really, really good talent music-wise, some folks you know, and, you know, we also had First Wrestling is involved, and we announced that our food ambassador is Andrew Zimmern, and that, you know,
I love him.
Our game.
Yeah.
So his perspective is one that we shared, which is, you know, we wanted to bring in the original Taste of Minnesota cheese curds, and, you know, give people that sort of blast from the past. But then we also really like his perspective of what types of food do we have in the state that people can come try and, you know, spend a day kind of checking out some big name chefs and also some other food options depending on what your interest level is, and then kind of hang out and visit and see the shows.
Okay, so can you tell me just two more types of food that will be served or offered to the
yeah
to the great group of people?
we're going to be building buzz leading up to the event by announcing different types of food that's going to be available.
Oh, okay.
And so right now we have Zimmer was our big announce this week. We have a couple other folks that we're going to be announcing coming up as well. And part of the reason is it's just, you know, 8 weeks left. We want as many people to come check out the food and see what is going to be available for people. So,
okay, yeah. So I won't push you on that food thing, but I do want to know if some of the Minnesota, you know, well-known, well-beloved foods are a part of this, like Juicy Lucy's and Wild Rice Soup. And no, seriously, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah, we are planning to do some favorites, but we're also interested in sort of, you know, I'm borrowing a phrase from one of our partners in the downtown council, which is, you know, we're legitimately trying to celebrate the diversity of the diversity. So when we did our presser, we had Chef Jojo from Tamu Grill doing samosas from Kenya and East Africa on hand, because we feel like that's also a part of the tapestry of food that we currently have. So, you know, in addition to cheese curds, which is obviously a Midwest thing, like samosas is a thing that we're leaning into, along with your, you know, your Juicy Lucy's and your Wild Rice stuff. So yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we have our, we got neighbors from East Africa that are doing great things with food. We got a lot of notable folks from Southeast Asia doing really good food programming these days. You know, we have award-winning chefs, you know, doing everything from Mexican cuisine to, you know, different parts of America and, you know, pizza and all that stuff. So it is one thing that we're really excited to include in the food programming. So, you know, a little something for everyone. Some of it's going to be spicy, some of it's not.
That's kind of what we're like, right? We're like that. Yeah. I do want to mention very quickly that chef and restaurateur Andrew Zimmern will serve as food ambassador. You said earlier, I just wanted to reiterate those that are just joining us. And the city council member, Michael Rainville, noted that there would be something for all ages at the event. I was so happy to read that. So what can the children do? What is available for them?
Oh, well, you know.
There's a lot, huh?
There's a lot. You know, it's funny because, you know, I have two small kids. And so when we think about programming, you know, it's sometimes people say that and then it's not necessarily true. But even tapping into the spirit of our press event that we did, you know, we had the Baron of Bubbles on hand, blowing
the
his
Baron of Bubbles.
Yeah, making bubbles for everybody to run through. We have secondhand hounds will be on hand with some of their adoptables. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of things that in addition to our art market and some of the other programming that we have, it is a thing, too, where when we talk about people coming downtown, we do want families to come experience the downtown and, you know, having NA beverages for kids to try and all sorts of
things. Is
that
non-alcoholic?
Like that.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Yes, it is. Yep.
And I think I think I have beers, craft beers or something at the event as well, which is so awesome. Now, I do want to mention that really we have to have hats off to the organizers because they pulled this off in just an incredible record amount of time. And I know that there was a bill that has been introduced in the legislature to allocate $1.85 million as a one-time grant to the Minneapolis Downtown Council to fund the event's build-out, permits, waste disposal, staff, security, equipment, signage, and insurance. So that $1.85 million is only going towards whatever this event is, the Taste of Minnesota, right? It's all to be spent on that?
Well, there's a little bit of a misconception about the event with that with that bill. And so one of the things that we end up talking about quite a bit is, you know, we have a group that is a public-private partnership to make yes. Taste of Minnesota happen. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that is not cheap, obviously, but we're committed to making it happen whether or not the state supports it. So, you know, that's one thing we like to clear up for people. We will be doing the event regardless of the bill because we have so many people interested in making this happen and seeing us have a robust downtown and people being able to come downtown. And the other thing we've been telling people is our partnership with the downtown council is we want to see this year after year after year. So, you know, the bill isn't one-time allocation, but that's something that we've been very clear with the downtown council that, you know, this infrastructure is something that we don't want to do one Taste of Minnesota and be done. We want this to be people's go-to new tradition over the holiday. Yeah. And so the infrastructure funding is to make sure that we can do this year after year after year, even though we already have this public-private partnership. So,
well, it does say that it's allocated $1.85 million as a one-time grant. So, you know, right. That in itself, I hope they will continue to give that grant so this can happen yeah. Every year. I'm for so sure. Excited you guys are doing this. Yeah. The last thing I want to mention is Blois Olson.
Hey, Geraldine, can I clarify yes. something real quick?
Yes.
I got my my dog adoption agency wrong, and I just want to make sure I correct it. It's Secondhand Hounds.
Secondhand Hounds. Oh.
Yeah. They do great work, and we're excited to have them down in the green space in front of the park there. So, yeah, just to clarify that.
And oh, that's going to be a hit. That's going to be a hit, man. Big
kids
time.
And adults.
Right. So I just wanted to talk about Blois Olson, who we know here at WCCO very well. His marketing firm, Fluence Media, is promoting the event, offered no funding details, but said money wouldn't be a stumbling block. So we're really happy to hear that. There are a lot of sponsors involved, he said, including the flagship sponsor, which is Surly Brewing. And, I'm just hoping that this will last for decades because I'm so glad that it's back. I remember when it started, where was it? At the Capitol, I believe.
And, yeah.
There we were laying on the grass with a blanket or something and looking up at the fireworks. It was so fabulous and fabulous food. So well done, Taylor. So glad you all put this together and we are grateful for it. I hope to hear more about it. And thank you so much for joining us.
That's great. You have a good night.
All right, you too. All right, everyone, that was Taylor Carrick, and he is the co-organizer for Taste of Minnesota. If you don't remember it, or maybe you moved here after Taste of Minnesota, definitely come and see it. Please come and take it all in, because it really is quite wonderful, and I'm really happy that it's back. All right, we got to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. It is time for Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. And I tell you, there is so much happening in the Twin Cities. We talked about Taste of Minnesota before we went into the 9 o'clock hour. And so our first guest for Center Stage is a show at the History Theater in downtown St. Paul called Defeat of Jesse James. And the man that is playing that role, I believe, is Adam Quells. He joins us right now. How are you, Adam? Adam, are you there? I am talking to Adam Quells. Is he joining us today? Oh, I am so sorry, everyone. I didn't realize we had a few minutes left before we go into Center Stage, but that will be our first guest. And if you can look that up and see how incredible this particular piece is, that is written by a man that I have known for a very long time, I know you're going to love it. So stay tuned. All right. So, Jonathan, the Taste of Minnesota, if you don't go, I'm going to like pack up a bag for you and bring it to the station, because the foods that they used to introduce at the Taste of Minnesota and when it was at the Capitol was just awesome. Did you ever go to the Capitol for the Taste of Minnesota?
By the time I moved here, it had moved to Harriet Island, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That didn't go so well.
Yeah, I did. I didn't go. I never got over to the Taste of Minnesota before it went on hiatus. We'll say it that way. Before it went on hiatus. So I might try to come to Nicollet Mall because I know it a little better. You know, being downtown, working downtown, I know that area a little bit better. So I may try to stop by. And it being, well, it is on a couple of days where I might have to work. I'll probably be working here on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have the 3rd off. I might be able to slide down on the 3rd of July.
Yeah, I think it will be worth it, especially for you. And here's the thing. It starts, I believe, on Washington and goes to 5th. And so
that's
I think
correct.
It's, yeah. So, you know, people have a chance. This is a unique area. I mean, it's not where I thought it was going to be. I thought it was at PV Plaza or something like that. And, that would be like 10th or close to that. So I don't know.
I think that's a nice area because you're not starting to get into the place in on Nicollet where you have more of the restaurants and bars. It's on its own. It's closer to the library. It's got a little bit more space to move, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be fantastic. So please try. If not, I'm going to have to send some food over to you, okay? There you go. Thanks for sticking and staying with us. Now Center Stage is coming up next. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome, welcome. It is time for Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. And I tell you, there is so much happening in the Twin Cities. We talked about Taste of Minnesota before we went into the 9 o'clock hour. And so our first guest for Center Stage is a show at the History Theater in downtown St. Paul called Defeat of Jesse James. And the man that is playing that role, I believe, is Adam Quells. He joins us right now. How are you, Adam? Adam, are you there? I am talking to Adam Quells. Is he joining us today? Oh, I am so sorry, everyone. I didn't realize we had a few minutes left before we go into Center Stage, but that will be our first guest. And if you can look that up and see how incredible this particular piece is, that is written by a man that I have known for a very long time, I know you're going to love it. So stay tuned. All right. So, Jonathan, The Taste of Minnesota, if you don't go, I'm going to like pack up a bag for you and bring it to the station, because the foods that they used to introduce at The Taste of Minnesota and when it was at the Capitol was just awesome. Did you ever go to the Capitol for The Taste of Minnesota?
By the time I moved here, it had moved to Harriet Island, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That didn't go so well.
Yeah, I did. I didn't go. I never got over to the Taste of Minnesota before it went on hiatus. We'll say it that way. Before it went on hiatus. So I might try to come to Nicollet Mall because I know it a little better. You know, being downtown, working downtown, I know that area a little bit better. So I may try to stop by. And it being, well, it is on a couple of days where I might have to work. I'll probably be working here on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have the 3rd off. I might be able to slide down on the 3rd of July.
Yeah, I think it will be worth it, especially for you. And here's the thing. It starts, I believe, on Washington and goes to 5th. And so
that's
I think
correct.
It's, yeah. So, you know, people have a chance. This is a unique area. I mean, it's not where I thought it was going to be. I thought it was at PV Plaza or something like that. And, that would be like 10th. or close to that. So I don't know.
I think that's a nice area because you're not starting to get into the place in on Nicollet where you have more of the restaurants and bars. It's on its own. It's closer to the library. It's got a little bit more space to move, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be fantastic. So please try. If not, I'm going to have to send some food over to you, okay? There you go. Thanks for sticking and staying with us. Now Center Stage is coming up next. Stay tuned.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.